is now in session. Damn.
This episode of DG's Courtroom is sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app. Your chances of winning are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show for Monday, February 13th, 2017. An 11-game slate on tap. It is All-Star Week. What does that mean for DFS? It actually is pretty crappy for DFS players because a weird Magic Mountain-type week in terms of games. We have 11 games on Monday, which is beautiful but almost too much. 3 games on Tuesday, which is crap. 14 games on Wednesday, which is a monster. Just an overload of games. That's going to be a very tough slate to navigate. And then a lousy 2 little games on Thursday. And then we are off for a week because of the All-Star game. And LeBron and the players started whining about getting some time off. And the commissioner, you know, listened to them. So there's no games until February 23rd after this Thursday. So during that time off, either the judge might sleep. Maybe I bring on some guest hosts, some other hosts from the All Money Baller Podcast Network. So, you know, if you have ideas what kind of shows you'd want me to do during the week we're going to have off, let me know. And I would love to hear your thoughts on that. I'm currently have some ideas going on in my head, things I want to do, lots of options. But before we dive into this monster slate for Monday, please rate, review, subscribe to the podcast. As you know, that helps me out and takes mere seconds to complete. Also, when I tweet out the show, please retweet it for me instead of hitting the like button. Ignore your initial, thought to hit the like button and hit an RT instead. Very easy to do. If you're not going to rank the show, rate, review, and subscribe, hopefully you're already subscribed. Hopefully you already rate and reviewed it. But if you didn't do those things, at least you can do is do a little RT. That takes what? A millisecond? Also, if you do want me to have on a guest host or, if you want me to have a guest on the show who is a part of the Almighty Baller Podcast Network, where, remember, guys, we now have at our fingertips basically every NBA team out there. There's a podcast. The judge, if they like the judge, well, hopefully that we can get them on the show and they can explain to us, break down their rosters, which we can use to our advantage for DFS purposes. So let's take advantage of it. If you guys want me to bring on someone, let me know. I'm not going to do it just for the hell of it. Haven't gotten a ton of feedback from you, so for the time being, I've kind of held off on that. But yeah, definitely let me know. By the way, some shows, we have so much to get through. I don't even introduce myself. I'm the judge. I am Daniel Green, more importantly known as the judge, though. You can find me on Twitter at DanielAGreen1. Or you can go to the website, dgcourtroomdfs.com, if you would like to email me that way. Because I'm always surprised how many of you out there don't have Twitter. There's hundreds and hundreds, maybe not a thousand of our listeners, but there's at least 100 of people who listen to the show who actually don't use Twitter and don't have a Twitter account. I get at least a handful of emails each week from people who don't have Twitter, which is pretty amazing if you're playing DFS without Twitter. That's pretty impressive to be able to do that. Monitor all. I don't know how you're monitoring all the last minute news. Well, I do recommend you get on Twitter. I mean, sometimes Twitter can be a kind of a menace with all the trolls and all the negativity out there. But in terms of DFS, I do think it is kind of essential and helps you out. Where else are we on the show? Oh, if you would like a consultation with the judge, maybe during All-Star week, I can do a couple more consultations because, as you guys know, time is an issue for the judge. I haven't been able to do a ton of those. I do have a few scheduled for this week, but maybe during All-Star week, I can do a couple more. If you would like to go over roster construction, what contest to enter, my favorite research techniques, tracking, analyzing data, strategy. Basically, if you want to hear the opposite of what sleepy grinders, roto trash, what they're going to tell you, have a consult with me, and you actually can get some legitimate information that's accurate and that will help your game instead of having people mislead you and telling you to enter sham contests because they're sleeping. they're in bed getting sponsored by FanDuel and DraftKings and will tell you and feed you horrific lies. Yes. So if you want a consultation, let me know. Please download the lovely app Draft. And when you do, use the promo code DFBPOD. Remember, if you cannot find where to use the promo code, it should be right there. Like the second you download it, that's the first thing it should ask you. But if you can't find it, tweet me or email me and let me know your username on the app, and we will get you your deposit bonus, and the sponsor will then be happy with me. All right, so in terms of Chambers, guys, for this coming week, it is a glorious week for Chambers. So I already tweeted out on Sunday night, I updated the power rankings for DraftKings. I'm in the process of doing it for FanDuel, but FanDuel is tougher because there's so much more data that I have to go through. But hopefully I will get FanDuel done as well early Monday. Maybe by the time you're listening to this podcast, it will be done. But in any event, the power rankings for DraftKings have been updated and posted on the website, dgcourtroomdfs.com. I also tweeted it out. FanDuel, hopefully, like I said, will be done. It will definitely be done on Monday. It's just a matter of what time. We also are having our best of the best contest, which is the people at the top of the power rankings get a special invitation to a special private only Chambers tournament on Monday. So invites have already been sent out for that, for DraftKings and for FanDuel. Again, you should get that hopefully sometime early in the day on Monday. Don't worry though, if you do not qualify for best of the best, you will still get an invitation. Or at least I will tweet out a link for you to participate in Chambers. We'll still have one on DraftKings, and we will still have probably two other ones on FanDuel. And some of you may be asking, Judge, what the hell are you talking about? I'm a new listener. What is this Chambers nonsense I keep hearing about? Well, Chambers is just a tournament that we run on FanDuel and DraftKings and on a lovely sponsor, Draft, which has some of the best talent in the DFS world competing against each other. It's just a good time. A really good way for all the followers, listeners to interact. And it does fill up relatively fast, especially the ones on FanDuel. So if you do want to be a part of it, you can just tweet at me and I will do my best to get you in. And if I can't get you in that day, I will make sure to get you in the following day. All right. So there was actually no Chambers on Sunday because Sunday there was only four games, horrible games. Cause one included the Bulls resting everyone. Everyone was injured/resting against Minnesota, and the times were a nightmare. It was like a 3:30 p.m. lineup lock. So I didn't play at all. This is the first day in forever that I played $0. And there was no Chambers. So courtroom's closed, Chambers closed for Sunday. So in terms of giving people shout outs, I can't do it. There were no Chambers on Sunday, but we did have winners on Friday and Saturday, and they deserve to be rewarded on the show. So on Friday night on FanDuel, we had three going. The winners were I Am Legend, Nesto, who's currently the number three ranked player before I update the rankings, although I'm pretty sure he's still going to be three or higher. It's his fifth win of the year, his 18th cash, which is phenomenal. And then we had two newbies take the other two Chambers down. So congrats to Lestrella and Boston Pancake. I mean, I don't know if you live in Boston and you like pancakes. I guess that must be it. So congrats to you guys. On Saturday, we had only two Chambers going on FanDuel, WTBA, which also sometimes I tweet out the winners like real late at night. I think I tweeted out congrats to @WTBA and realized that wasn't his Twitter handle. I think his Twitter handle is like @ChiliCoth20 or something like that. But that's super annoying when I do try to tweet out. Like, that may be one of the things I dread the most, trying to find out what your Twitter handle is. Man, it's super hard, especially like at 3, 4, 5, 6 in the morning to tweet that out. Sometimes I may get that wrong. So if you do win Chambers, and granted, I know a lot of times you won't find out until super late at night, just you can feel free to tweet at me. By the way, I won Chambers 1, 2, 3, and my Twitter handle or username is X. That helps the judge out. That'd be much appreciated. Anyway, WTBA got his sixth win, his 16th cash, and he's on a really hot streak right now. He's trying to make a run for the top of the power rankings. I think currently he was number 7 last week. He's definitely going to jump at least one or two spots, but he's really close now to that top the top four or five. Now, really, the top five spots, five or six, are all really tight in the power rankings. And even breaking the top 10 itself is means that you've had a really, really impressive, consistent year. Other winners, though, for Saturday were we had another newbie. Glorious. Three people on during the weekend were first-time winners. I love seeing that. So T.S. Spear got his first Chambers win, so congrats. On DraftKings on Friday, we had What Up Doe 88, who I think is now the number two ranked player on DraftKings. He won that one. C. Packham 007 took second, and Dad2Gax took third. On Saturday, Jetaholic 78 took first. McJim took second, and Jacken CM, I always forget how to pronounce that guy's name, but I know on Twitter he's follows me, and his name, I think it's at Biggie Jacinto. I probably butchered that as well. I tried, man. That's another thing. It's hard for the judge to remember everyone's Twitter handle as well. And even if I can get the Twitter handle, how do you pronounce it? Man, it's very stressful doing a podcast. All these little things nag at me. All right, let's hop into some dream killers and dream lovers. And it's really going to be kind of a special edition of dream killers and dream lovers, because we'll talk about kind of – I'll touch on the entire weekend, quite honestly. And let's start with trades. I mean, you probably saw on Sunday we had another trade, really only second one of the year, but another freaking Plumlee. I swear, man, there really are like five Plumlee brothers. I think only – I'm pretty sure only two are in the NBA, but God only knows. They all look alike. They all played basketball. They all went to Duke. They're all tall, goofy white dudes. We could have some more Plumlee trades. I don't even – God only knows. But this one was Plumlee for Portland, went to Denver for Nurkic. So on the surface, you know, you could say this is not a big deal. This was – but it was a little bit better than the last trade we had with the other Plumlee going to the Bucks for Hawes and Hibbert. So, I mean, this one is a little bit interesting because Nurkic obviously wasn't playing for Denver whatsoever. And Plumlee was a decent player for Portland. And he was in play some nights. I know he won a lot of people some money. I didn't use a lot of him, and his price was pretty high the last few weeks. So I wasn't using a lot of him. But I know he made a lot of people money during the course of the year and was somewhat of a decent play. He's you know, has some offensive skills. So now he's going to go to Denver. I just pray that Mike Malone doesn't try to mess with Jokic's minutes and basically just keeps Plumlee in the second unit there. You know, Mike Malone, you know, earlier in the year, he tried to play Nurkic and Jokic together. So let's just – like, I hope he doesn't try to do the same thing and play Jokic and Plumlee together. I think 2 7-footers in the modern NBA, it's just a freaking disaster. You know, maybe if you want to try it against a team like Golden State, I mean, just to try to pummel them on the boards – I guess you could do something like that, but otherwise it's just not going to work. So let's just pray he doesn't mess with Jokic. He lets Plumlee kind of initiate the offense with a second unit because they have been struggling to find someone. They really don't have a legitimate point guard. And Moutier stinks. Tamir Nelson's 75 years old, and Plumlee can, with that second unit, he can kind of run the offense a little bit. He's an excellent passer. So I think for in terms of owning him like in season long, I think it's going to be a disaster. And I don't imagine him being a very good play in DFS going forward. But in terms of Denver, you know, in real life basketball, I think he can help them out. And definitely signifies that Denver really is going to try to make the playoffs and they're trying to be an 8 seed in the West. Now, in terms of Portland, you know, in some ways this is bad news for DFS players because Terry Stotts, I mean, he's on the same path as Rick Carlisle. He's going to troll the freaking hell out of us. He loves to, you know, say he's going to play guys based on matchup. So, should in theory Nurkic start for them? Yes, but could I see guys like Ed Davis getting a lot of minutes some games, maybe even starting? Even if he doesn't start, still get more minutes than Nurkic? Absolutely. Could I see a guy like Myers freaking Leonard get extra minutes some games? Yeah, I could. So we're gonna have to wait and see how this plays out. But I wouldn't – like I don't see this, you know, Nurkic all of a sudden going to have a bonanza, you know, second half of the season. I mean, we saw even like the past couple of weeks when Jokic went out, Nurkic was kind of got awful, quite honestly, and only played a few minutes in some of those games. So, I do think he has obviously some great upside. Hopefully he can be a center for the future there for Portland. But in terms of the rest of the year, we got to wait and see. to see what Terry Stotts does. But I have a feeling it's going to be some frustrating nights with Terry Stotts kind of trolling us and giving Nurkic 18 minutes, 16 minutes, 22 minutes, games like that. So let's see. So in terms of dream killers, though, I don't know. That trade wasn't really a dream killer, but it wasn't a dream lover, that's for sure. Phoenix, how about – was that Saturday night? No, I think I tried to block this out. When we all played Brandon Knight because Eric Bledsoe was out, Phoenix was at Houston. It was a massive over-under. It was like over 230 over-under, which was one of the highest of the year. On a night, though, where there were three games with like an over 230 over-under, it was pretty intense. But so Brandon Knight was starting against Houston. He was like the minimum on all sites. He was between 60 and 80% owned, depending if you're playing, tournaments and cash games, I think. And he ended up really making the most of his opportunity. He had 20 minutes, 1 for 8 from the floor, 3 points, 2 turnovers, 0 assists, 0 rebounds, 0 steals. I mean, freaking soul crusher. If you watched this mother effing game, man, like I honestly, I had not only did I have to go off of Twitter for a little bit, I had to take a step outside, take a walk outside. I had to take anything I could throw and put it to the opposite side of the room. I had Brandon Knight. I had 100, I don't know, I faded him in, I think, 2 lineups. So I had like 80% exposure or something like that to Brandon Knight. I'm going to go through in a second, like when it comes to super chalk plays, like the thinking that I go through, because I do think it's important to talk a little bit, what's your strategy when it comes to a quote unquote chalk play for that given night. But to me, it was almost a can't miss situation. He was so dirt cheap. Even I knew, Tyler Ulis, he probably was going to split minutes because Earl Watson loves that guy. I still thought in like 24 minutes, how can he not give us 20 FanDuel points? And at his price, that would have been fine. So it was one of those games where Houston jumped out to a lead. You basically blinked and Houston was up 20. It was unbelievable. I mean, I really, there's no words that I can say. If you, some way you can watch that game, just YouTube it or something, and just watch the first 6 minutes, because no words could do that justice to see how much Houston just obliterated the hell out of Phoenix. The entire game, but especially the first 6 minutes. So Brandon Knight, one of the, talk about soul crusher, that may be the most disappointing performance of the year. And in terms of, all right, let's talk a little bit about chalk strategy now. So this, when someone is going to be super high owned like that, you should ask yourself a few questions, right? And this is what I do. Whenever there's, super chalk plays where I know, they're going to be super high owned, but they're in a really good spot and they're dirt cheap, I ask myself several questions. Question number one. I ask myself, do I envision this guy in the winning GPP lineup? Right? That makes sense. Obviously, if I envision this guy in the winning GPP lineup, I'm more inclined to play him. Right? Pretty obvious. Second question I ask myself, is it possible that a similar price guy puts up the same score as this player or can get me more FanDuel or DraftKings points, more fantasy points? And on this slate, Jameer Nelson was lingering, but he was, over about $1,000 more expensive. So it was hard to find someone, another point guard who was basically the minimum, who I thought could match Brandon Knight. And then the third question I asked myself is, how high owned is this person going to be? Now, if he's going to be over, let's say 50, 60%, and which Brandon Knight, it was basically a given he was going to be, and he was close to, he was approaching like 80%. To me, if you're a tournament player and you play multiple lineups, you have to fade him in one lineup. You have to. You have to. Listen to me. It's a must. I don't care. Even if you answer the first two questions, do I envision the guy in the winning GPP lineup? And the answer is yes. And is it possible that similar price guys put up the same score? And your answer to that is no. For the question number three, I don't care. Because if you think he's going to be over 50% owned and you play multiple lineups, you must fade in one of them. If you're a tournament player, you just have to do it. Don't overthink it. just do it, because sometimes you're not going to want to do it. You're going to keep telling yourself, he can't fail. He can't fail. It's Houston. He's the minimum. He used to be almost a borderline all-star player. Come on. He's going to give me like 30 DraftKings points, 30 FanDuel points, whatever. Just stop it. Stop thinking. And I want you to picture, don't picture the judge. That's probably kind of creepy. Picture the bailiff. And the bailiff and me are telling you, you just fade it. You just take a deep breath and you fade. Because that's how you win tournaments. Because think about it. If a guy's 80% owned, and if by chance he does put up a freaking dud, which we do see all the time, it just happens because that's DFS and crazy, ridiculous, absurd things that make you want to take a gavel, gouge your eyes out, throw remotes to the TV, spit on the TV. Things are going to happen every night. And if someone's 80% owned, like Brandon Knight was, and you just you fade him, and someone does have a better night, or let's say you don't even play another a bum, you basically just play a more balanced lineup, but you just fade. The point is, you just fade him. You're ahead of 80% of the field if he does put up a dud. And that's why if you do play multiple lineups and you're a tournament player, you have to do it. Now in cash games, different story. In cash game, you probably first of all, in tournaments, I still was able to cash on DraftKings in every lineup I had with Brandon Knight because he was so high owned. So in a cash game, you absolutely can still play him. You do not have to fade him. It's completely different questions. And this goes into the part of the whole, you know, your whole mentality regarding how you have to think regarding cash games and tournaments. So like the questions that I just posed to you, that those are for, you know, single entry and for tournaments. Cash games is different. Cash games ownership is not as important. And if a guy like that puts up a dud who's going to be 80% owned, it's not that big of a deal because everyone had him. So you will still be fine. But in tournaments, again, do I envision this guy in the winning GPP lineup? Is it possible similar price guys put up the same score or a better score? And how high owned will he be? Those are the three questions that I ask myself. And now hopefully you will ask yourself those questions as well. All right. Other dream killers, man. I hate yelling. I don't mean to yell at you guys. I don't want to yell at you guys. I want to be, speak very positively. But I just feel like, you're not getting this information from other sites or other podcasts. All right. So let's see, where are we? Other dream killers, Reggie Jackson. I mean, man, it's just, he's unplayable right now and unwatchable. He only got 16 minutes on Sunday night. And he was a minus 25 in terms of plus minus. He took five shots, only made one of them. If you look at his minutes the last few weeks, they've been trending downward, and it's been a mess. He's basically splitting minutes with Ish Smith, and on Sunday, Ish Smith was terrific. He led Detroit in a really nice comeback against Toronto. So, I mean, I don't know what the hell happened to Reggie Jackson. I mean, he's kind of been a mess all year. He was hurt, and then he came back, and like the second he came back, almost instantaneously, his teammates started complaining because he took too many shots. He wouldn't pass the ball, and it just hasn't been right with him. Maybe they'll trade him. Like I mean, he's not a decent contract though. But I'm just not sure what the hell to do. Except we can't play him right now. I mean, tournaments, sure, because you can play everyone. But even tournaments right now, it's a hard guy to roster. It's a mess. If you played Paul George on Saturday, what you saw was pretty disgusting and sickening. He got two early fouls, but then he still played 38 minutes and he took 11 shots. He did foul out still also, and he had five turnovers, 13 points. He shot four from 11 from the floor, and he stood in the corner the entire second half. And it was Indiana is one of the most frustrating teams to watch. It's mind-boggling. Now sometimes, we have the Charlotte Batums because Kemba has been stinking lately. And then we have Indiana Teagues. But this game was even irritating, whatever the hell the right word would be. But because Jeff Teague also stink. He also was horrible. He was – where was his stats from this game? So Jeff Teague got 32 minutes, right? Guess how many shots he took? Two shots. You thought if Paul George is standing in the corner the entire game, wouldn't Teague get some shots? But no. And he only had six assists. So it was one of the rare games where Paul George and Teague, they both sucked. And it was also a bizarre game because I went back and watched some of this today to see what the hell happened. Monte Ellis came out of nowhere to have like an unbelievable game. It's like he took some steroids, he took some Benjamin Button pills, and he had one of his probably best game of the season. It was just a super bizarre game. Watching Indiana, man, it's just really bizarre. You feel like you're in the Twilight Zone some games. And Paul George, he's getting close to being, if I have a shirt with a Tin Man with Anthony Davis on it, it may be Paul George on it. Because Anthony Davis, while he gets hurt a lot, at least he tries. I've seen him like multiple times try to like gut out games and stay in the game, even though when I know he's in pain and doesn't want to play. Paul George just mopes in a corner for like weeks at a time, doesn't try. And he's so talented. It drives me insane. So just Saturday night was a really rough night. Now he was only like 8% owned, so I didn't have much exposure. But the one lineup I did have, he absolutely just destroyed it. All right, where else are we for Dream Killers? Speaking of Reggie Jackson, we've tried to play John Lure, but you know that can happen with John Lures. He only got 17 minutes as well. Don't read too much into that. That was more so Detroit was getting blown out, and Stan Van just rode with the second unit. How about just Saturday night in general in terms of blowouts? So there were only seven games on the main slate on Saturday. Do you know how many were blowouts? Five. Five freaking games, led by one of the biggest disappointments ever, which was Golden State OKC, which Golden State destroyed the NBA this year because of Durant, destroyed DFS. If you were watching that game, the game was over like in the first 5 minutes. I mean, you knew, I mean, actually not the first 5 minutes, but after like the first quarter, I mean, you just knew OKC just couldn't compete with Golden State. They just didn't have the firepower. You know, the second Westbrook went out, it's just such a mismatch. So, not to mention that one of the games, the funniest game from that night to me was watching Dallas beat Orlando by 40 freaking points. I mean, Jeff Vogel continued to start CJ Watson. Yeah, how'd that go, Jeff Vogel? Why am I saying Jeff Vogel too? It's Frank Vogel. But also, like Frank Vogel, he played Mario Hezonja, who he basically hasn't played the entire year. He played him 35 freaking minutes. The one night when I rostered Mario Hezonja, which I think was was it Thursday, Friday? I can't keep track of all the days. I'm pretty sure he played him like 16 minutes. So Dallas beats the Magic by 40, yet Hezonja gets 35 minutes on this night. It's just DFS, man. It's crazy. So yeah. All right. Can we get a little positivity, man? I feel like I'm like super riled up. I can't figure it out. Maybe since it's Monday. Maybe it's because I'm just also I feel sometimes I just need to bring some extra energy. Otherwise, I'm just gonna fall asleep doing the show. As it is 3:34 in the morning. But let's bring some positivity, shall we? Dream lovers. Who made us some money over the weekend? Who played well? And there were many people who did that as well. Let's talk about the Bucks first. So with Jabari Parker out, my voice is super hoarse. I need some water. Hold on. Man. It's weird. Every time I drink water now, all I think about is the guy who left the review, like yelling at me and telling me not to drink water during the show, saying it's super annoying. And then I smack my lips. And to me, it only makes me want to smack my lips even harder and more. Like, how dare you write a review tell me I can't drink water? What do you want me to do? By the end of the show, my voice would be like this, and I'd be telling you that you have to fade Russell Westbrook. And that would be a horrible show. But then again, maybe it'd be a good show. Still be a better show than Roto Trash. Anyway, I digress. Dream lovers. So with Jabari Parker out, like, I think the big winner could be Brogdon. He got 36 minutes on Saturday. He played terrific. Now, like, Giannis basically plays like the four. I'm not even sure that the Bucks are basically like positionless basketball at this point. In Dellavedova, I mean, he's, I don't know what the hell he is, like, but they need Brogdon. They need his youth, his athleticism. He can score a little bit. He can handle the ball, take some of the pressure off Giannis. He got 36 minutes, like I said, and I think going forward he's going to be just a nice play for the rest of the year. And there's no reason for the Bucks not to give him a lot of minutes. If you look at the rest of the minutes for the Bucks, Beasley got the start. He only got 26. Thon Maker, I think he's going to be intriguing too. Got 22 minutes, and Teletovic only got 17. So I think it's going to be probably Brogdon, Beasley, and Thon Maker, maybe in that order, who's going to get be the beneficiary. until Middleton can get, 30 plus minutes a night. Mentioned Ish Smith. He was terrific. 31 minutes, 15 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, plus 26. And for the foreseeable future, we'll see what his price is going to be for the next Detroit game. But he's going to be an interesting play as long as his price doesn't get too expensive. Andrew Wiggins. Look, guys, I've been saying this now for the last week. Without LaVine, he gets a monster usage bump, and he's become safe for all formats now. He was terrific on Sunday. Again, 10 for 19, 27 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. It's just – he looks super more comfortable. And it's weird too, because I'm not really sure, if it's just the extra usage, if there's more space on the court, why he performs so much better without LaVine, but he clearly does. And it's something that we could take advantage of. Now, I am worried going forward that his price is going to get a little too expensive. But for right now, I love me some Andrew Wiggins. Kawhi Leonard was fantastic on Sunday. I wish I would have played this slate, because he was tremendous. The best thing about Kawhi, he took 27 shots. And for Kawhi to get that many shots and to see his usage be that high is just a really good sign going forward, and using him going forward. Hernan Gomez, Hornacek is such a troll. O'Quinn starts one game and plays really well. Then he'll start Hernan Gomez the next night. It's just super bizarre. Hernan Gomez and O'Quinn both play well on Sunday against the Spurs. Hernan Gomez, he's super talented. And whenever he starts, he's going to put up a monster line. He's almost, he might at some point get too expensive, but he's just a really talented player. Jokic is a dream lover for many reasons, but I also do think that this trade, I'm hoping that's not going to be limit his minutes. And he was terrific on, I think it was Saturday against Cleveland. He just single-handedly demolished them. I mean, they had no one to guard him. Just seeing how skilled he is offensively, he's just a joy to watch. I mean, I think I tweeted out, Denver's one of my favorite teams to watch right now. They might be one of my top three teams to watch. I mean, they're just super, first of all, the pace they play at. I mean, it's basically, it's at warp speed. So many possessions. They play no defense. So if you're a coach, you're probably a little frustrated. But I love the pace. I love watching them play, and I love watching Jokic. Jameer Nelson's been really good for Denver as well. Dream lover. Sarge has been great for Philly. They're sitting Okafor out right now because he's probably going to get traded. Noel, they never give Noel big minutes. They're not giving Sarge big minutes either. That's what makes what he's doing more impressive, because he's only getting like 24 minutes or so the last few games, but he's putting up like 35, 40 Vando points. He's like, if he ever could get 35 minutes, he would be a monster. And then the Cavs defense, dream lover. Honestly, we can just attack. I think this is going to be true like the rest of the season. Just attack teams playing Cleveland. Like LeBron, this is why I mentioned this on the last podcast. That's why he can play so many minutes. He plays zero defense. He doesn't try, except when the game gets close. So you can attack. Kyrie can't play defense anyway, even if he did try, which he's not. Kevin Love's never been a good defender. Triskett, whatever. He's undersized, quite honestly, if you ask me. And Jokic destroyed him, even though he also had a good game. Freaking stale wheat bread Triskett. But to me, attacking the Cavs, it's a nice kind of sneaky way to make money in DFS. Like, while everyone else on Saturday was on like that OKC Golden State game and some other games, I attacked the hell out of that Cleveland Denver game. I had Jokic everywhere and was able to make a lot of money. Our injury news for Monday. So it's an 11 game slate, but not a ton of injury news, which is bizarre. I'm sure as the day goes on, we'll find there's going to be some earth shattering news. But right now, it's Zeller's, Plumlee's, blah, blah, blah. Zeller's got the quad. So Frank Kaminsky is going to be a good play again. Thaddeus Young is still questionable. No, he's doubtful. Deion Waiters is still questionable. Aaron Gordon is still questionable. Jay Crowder is still questionable. And Jaylen Brown, who I used as a sneaky ninja on Saturday and put up an absolute dud. I actually had him and Brandon Knight in a lot of lineups. And a couple of them still were able to cash, but Jaylen Brown really hurt me on Saturday. He's dealing with a right hip strain, and Jay Crowder is questionable, might be out. If those guys are out, guys like Marcus Smart are really intriguing plays on this slate. So Denver is an absolute mess in terms of injury news. And I mentioned the Plumlee trade. Will he play on Monday? I don't know. If he doesn't play, and they already got Kenneth Faried out, and Moutier is questionable with a back. Darrell Arthur is questionable with knee soreness. Jameer Nelson will be a great play. Obviously, Wilson Chandler, Jokic. Now, Gary Harris, I think, is going to be playing and is back. So maybe Will Barton takes a little bit of a hit. But a lot of the Denver guys are going to be in play for sure. And then you got Terrence Jones with a thumb. And that's about it for injury news. All right. Let's take a little flight to Vegas. So it's 11 games. If just looking at the over-unders, the Clippers at Utah, remember, we need to narrow the freaking player pool. So I'm not touching that game for cash. So boom, one game done for me. Orlando, Miami. Do I want to touch that game for cash with the Clippers game? Clippers, Utah, 206 over under. Orlando, Miami, 207 over under. Yeah, I don't need that game for cash either, quite honestly. Then you got Spurs, Pacers. I don't really need that for cash. Boston, Dallas. I don't need that for cash. So quite honestly, you could take the four lowest over unders for me. And I could, now, will this change by tomorrow or by lineup lock? Maybe. But quite honestly, there's no one in those games that's a must to me for cash games, because we have some really juicy games that I want to freaking target. Talk about Golden State, Denver, 239 over under. You heard me correctly, 239. That's the highest over under I've seen this year. Denver, even though they're banged up, they've been playing well. There's going to be zero defense being played. Even if Golden State does blow them out, and let's say guys like Jokic only gets like 30 minutes, Golden State has, they're like third last in the league in terms of allowing offensive rebounds. Jokic should be put up a dominating performance. And just all the Denver guys are going to be underpriced for that game, in my opinion. And even the Golden State guys, because if that game could stay close, it's just fantasy gold everywhere. Obviously, Golden State, I hate them, so it'll probably be tournaments only for Golden State. But Denver, I think, safe for all formats, a lot of those guys. You got the New Orleans and Phoenix. You know, Phoenix destroyed us on Saturday, but Phoenix is not playing Houston. They're not going to lose by 30 to New Orleans. Plus, I think Bledsoe is going to be back for this game. So, obviously, Anthony Davis against Phoenix. Drew Holiday is playing really well. That's a delicious game, 220 over-under. OKC, Washington, wow, do I love this game, 217 over-under. Atlanta, Portland, 217 over-under. Another delicious game. Philly, Charlotte, 211 over-under. Not a bad game. And then you have Detroit, Milwaukee, 211 over-under. And the Bucks, I like playing a lot of the Bucks now a little bit more, because without Parker, a lot of the Bucks are underpriced. They're guys like Brogdon and Beasley. They're cheap guys that I think are going to be okay. All right, team's playing up in pace. So Memphis gets Brooklyn. So Memphis playing way up in pace, although lately attacking Brooklyn, if you've been following me, that has not been paying off, especially point guards against Brooklyn has not been paying off. I mean, Kemba, Dragic, they've been okay, but kind of a little bit disappointing though. So take that with a grain of salt. I mean, I still think Brooklyn, maybe you can, and I was talking to someone else about this, maybe Brooklyn, you can just attack them. Don't attack them at the guard and the perimeters. Attack them more, kind of attacking Brooke Lopez and attack their front court. So maybe Marc Gasol becomes a really good play. But Memphis is playing way up in pace. Denver, what's crazy is Denver plays at what? Number three in the league in pace. They're playing up in pace against Golden State. So, I mean, the Denver guys, just in such a good spot if they can just somehow keep that game close against Golden State. The Pelicans, way up in pace against Phoenix. That's why I love New Orleans guys. And Holiday's been phenomenal lately. And AD's been good too. I like Washington playing up in pace against OKC. I will say John Wall has struggled. If you look at his past history against OKC, which is a little interesting. I'm not sure if he gets tired like chasing Westbrook or what that is. What that's about, and he's not expensive, and he's a little overpriced, so he is expensive. So, maybe that's a bad omen for him, but it is a good spot for Washington, and then Charlotte a little bit up in pace against Philly. All right, let's hop into the plays. All right, point guard. So like every slate, You have to decide. There's no Harden on this slate, but you still have lots of stars. You got Westbrook, you got Giannis, Anthony Davis, John Wall, Isaiah Thomas, and Jokic and Durant are the guys who are really the 10K and over. Then there's guys like Blake and Kawhi who are close to 10K. If you look at kind of the history throughout the course of the year at winning lineups and tournaments, you really haven't had to pay up for guys like Westbrook and Harden, you know, and the 11, 12K guys to take down tournaments, especially a point guard, because as you know, point guards loaded. There's guys who can smash value, get 6, 7, 8 times value all over the place. Do you need Westbrook on an 11 game slate? No, you don't. Now, is he always a good play? Yes. And for that matter, and I know I've probably said this before in other shows, but in tournaments, you can play just about everyone. With that said, on an 11-game slate, you know, especially when you're talking more cash games, you don't have to force anything. There's good plays at every position. So if you do feel like you're forcing a play, you know, if you really have to struggle, you know, and tell yourself, wow, I mean, you know, if you're thinking more of the lines of, you know, a Sabonis or a guy like, you know, Roberson, on an 11-game slate, you don't have to do it. Remember, we're back living in New York, man. This is an 11-game slate. We are in New York. We are not living back in Wisconsin. This is an 11-game slate. You have options galore every spot. So Westbrook, totally fine. I love stacking this game with Washington, him and Wall. Granted, that will take, like, what, almost a third of your salary cap because those two are so expensive. You know, but Westbrook, always fine play. John Wall, I think he's overpriced, and he does struggle against OKC. And also, he doesn't have a monster ceiling. I mean, he's only hit 60 like one time in like the last month or so. And that's to like take down a GPP. If he was in like a winning GPP lineup, he would need to get us like 60, 65. I know everyone says like, you know, the five, you know, hitting values like five times their salary. That's like, quite honestly, when you talk about like winning GPPs, you really need almost more than that. You need like 6 or 7 times value. So is John Wall a must play? No, he's not. Is he a good play? Is he always a good play? Sure. You know, he still has, what's his usage rate? It's 35%, which is a monster. But he's really, really overpriced. And on an 11-game slate, I don't need to do it. Isaiah Thomas, 10.1K. Not the best spot for him because he's playing Dallas. So he's playing way down in pace. If you look at his game logs and just watching him play, he is still a one-trick pony. So even though he's been offensively tremendously, and this is where you have to differentiate real life from DFS. And DFS, it's just not a great play on paper on Monday. Now, is it a good tournament play because it's contrarian, he'll be low-owned, and no one will have him? I don't know if it's a good tournament play, but it does make sense because he's going to be, like, what, 7% owned on this slate? Something like that? Steph Curry, not. I mean, you can save, what, 3,000, over 3,000 from Westbrook. And could Curry, who's starting to play a lot better, could he put up a similar FanDuel point production to Westbrook? He could against Denver. We like to attack Denver guards. So if that game stays close, I think Curry's a really nice tournament play. Would I still touch him in cash? Probably not, even though it is. Yeah, you know what? I still wouldn't, simply because Golden State could beat Denver by 70 because they have the greatest team ever assembled. So probably not. But single entry tournaments, yeah. And GPPs, yeah. Dame, Judy, Dench, Lillard. You know, I'm intrigued to see what happens without Plumlee now. You know, I forgot to do the research before the show. You know, if you want to tweet at me tomorrow and ask me what his usage bump is without Plumlee, I'm going to find that out. He's been fine lately, you know, and I think he's safe. I love attacking Atlanta guards. So quite honestly, to me, he's safe for all formats. He's $4,000 cheaper than Westbrook. I'm not a fan of using Judy Dench. The ceiling hasn't been tremendous lately. You know, talk about a tin man. He's a tin man as well. He just is not engaged some games. He lets McCollum do a lot of the heavy lifting in fourth quarters, which is frustrating. But still, it's you know, it's Judy Dench. He gets Dennis Schroeder defense, which is one of the worst point guards defensively in the NBA. So he's fine for any format you want. Magic Mountain, the king of the Magic Mountain, Eric Bledsoe. You know, Hornacek basically has been resting him because he's exhausted. So I'm not going to touch him in cash. But now he did get some rest against Houston, so maybe he comes back and puts up a big number. So tournaments only. Same game. I like stacking this New Orleans-Phoenix game. So Jrue Holiday, Bledsoe's not an elite defender anymore. And now he's tired. So Holiday's been tremendous lately. I've been using him a lot. And I don't know, you know, New Orleans playing up in pace. So I think Holiday's another guy. Safe for all formats in this on Monday. Goran Dragic, 8K. Miami finally lost. He's fine. Not a massive upside with him. And this is the difference between, you know, when I talk about I let the slate dictate what I do. Now, if this was a 5-game slate, he'd probably be fine for all formats. But because it's a 11-game slate, I'd prefer other guys in cash games. Mike Conley, look, it is Brooklyn. The data tells us that Conley is safe for all formats. My own head says, man, I keep trying to attack Brooklyn and they keep effing me over. But Conley's safe for all formats. Kemba, the Kemba Batums. So, I mean, Kemba and Batum, they do have much better, if you look at their home and road splits, they are much better at home. So that's something. But the last two games, Kemba's been at home. Last three games, he's been at home, and he's been awful. Just awful. I don't know if he's tired. I don't know what it is. So he's right behind Bledsoe at Magic Mountain on a roller coaster. You can't trust him in cash. But is he going to snap out of it? Yes. And this is the kind of guy that I will play in a tournament. I'll take a chance on. Because remember, when I'm building my tournaments, my only goal is to win a tournament. So you get someone, a really good player, who's underpriced, who's going to be underowned, who's playing really crappy basketball. And on paper, no, you don't want to roster it. You do it, though, in tournaments, you know, because he'll be low-owned and he does have the upside. He can get hot. So I wouldn't do it in cash, but tournaments, sure. Jeff Teague, because of recency bias, playing the Spurs, he's going to be low-owned, coming off, like I mentioned at the top of the show, really bad game. Tournaments only. But I like the price, 7K. Dennis Schroeder, 6.9K. Another situation where if it was 5 games, maybe you could do it for cash, but it's 11 games, you can't do it in cash games. But he could destroy Judy Dench. I love stacking this Atlanta-Portland game. This is a really sneaky game for me. I will have some game stacks. There's going to be zero defense in this game as well. So Dame Judy Dench doesn't play defense, either to Schroeder. I like both those guys. Then, you know, after that, you got George Hill. He's fine. You can roll him out in cash games. He'll get close to 25 to 35. Just not a guy I'm ever excited to play. Deron Williams, I can't trust him. He only got 16 minutes the first game back, but Dallas beat Orlando by 40. I'm still not sure what's going to happen between Yogi Bear and Deron Williams. How many minutes will he get? He's 6K right now. I can't touch him. Elfrid Payton, no thank you. Not an 11-game slate. Tyler Johnson, 5.7K. Just don't love the matchup against Orlando. You know, it's hard to envision a super high ceiling there. I mean, you know, if you want to play those guys in that Orlando Miami game in tournaments, you know, and hope it's a faster pace than normal, you can do it. But you know, like I really do think that's a game that I'm just going to fade for cash games. Reggie Jackson, I'm not touching that. Austin Rivers, I'm not touching the Clippers, or at least I'm not touching Austin Rivers versus Utah. TJ McConnell's 5.5K against Charlotte. Another guy, fine. You know, I'd prefer other guys. Malcolm Brogdon, 5.2K. Not the best matchup in the world versus Detroit. Although Ish Smith, the more Ish Smith plays, the better I like opposing guards, because Ish Smith is a really bad defender. So I do like Brogdon. I do think that his minutes are going to – he's going to be the biggest beneficiary right now until Middleton gets back. So to me, you probably don't want to play him in cash, but to me he's a nice tournament play. Jameer Nelson, 5K. As long as Moutier's out, he's been playing really well, and now he's been 37, 36 last two games, and now they get Golden State. So to me, safe for all formats, although it's if Golden State blows them out fast, you know, if you don't want to use him in cash, I get it. If you're a little worried of the blowout, but elite tournament spot for him. Other than that, then, you know, on 11-game slate, do you want to play Tony Parker? Even though Ish Smith, you could throw him, I don't know if I'd want to do it in cash games, because before on Sunday, he's still only getting around 20 minutes. So I don't know if you want to use Ish in a tournament. You could Dellavedova's 4K. He's still starting, and that's about it. Our shooting guard. So Giannis is 11.3K. The pace of this game is going to be pretty crappy. You know, I do like what I'm seeing from him without Jabari Parker. There's a lot more space on the court because they're using like Beasley, who can space the floor, whereas Jabari Parker wasn't the best shooter in the world. So he does have a little more room to operate, which I like. But 11.3K, do you need to do it that, you know, in cash or tournaments? Not really. It's expensive. To me, not a great play on paper. Batum, nice, safe play. Shooting guard, not a ton of guys who are great plays. If you want to, you know, punt shooting guard or use two value guys on this slate, that makes a lot of sense too. But Batum, you can save 3.3K from Giannis or Giannis, whatever you Greek freak, whatever, however you want to pronounce it. So Batum at 8K, fair price, not a monster ceiling. More of a cash game play at this point and not a tournament player, but he should get you between 30 and 40 and be fine. CJ McCollum, 7.7K. I like attacking Atlanta guards, but I'm not going to play him in cash games. I'll play him in tournaments, and I will. I don't like to play Dame and CJ in the same lineup because it's very rare both go off on this slate because Atlanta is just really bad defensively guarding both the one and the two. Even though they've gotten better since they traded Korver, I might do it in one lineup on this slate. Bradley Beal, I love this OKC Washington game. The problem is Bradley Beal has gotten really freaking expensive. I mean, he's 7.7K now. That's overpriced. He's reached the point where what's his freaking upside? I mean, now he's got to get us close to, 40? He's done that two times in our last 10 games. On an 11-game slate, I'm not going to pay up for that in cash games. Like in tournaments, could you do it? No, well, actually, you know what? In cash games, could you do it? I guess. And he could get – I mean, he's probably going to get you 25 to 40 somewhere in there. But it's hard to see him that salary paying off in tournaments. You know, if you were going by that theory, you need like not 5K, five times your salary. You need 6 or 7. Is Beal going to give us 45, 50 FanDuel points? Plus, he's going to get some Oladipo defense. I love the pace of that game. But everything else, Beal's just really expensive. I mean, I like stacking that game, and then I'll use those guys. But otherwise, the Washington guys are just really expensive right now. It's hard to use them. Klay Thompson, I love attacking Denver guards, although Gary Harris is back, so he's a decent defender. But I would never, ever, ever use Klay in cash games. Tournaments, whatever, you can use Klay. Devin Booker, he was part of the crew against Houston that was horrible. 18 actual points, 21 FanDuel points, because that's what he does. He's the epitome of a one-trick pony. You look at one-trick pony, it's Devin Booker's freaking face. Whatever. It's just another guy. I don't love the play. I'd rather go with some value guys. I mean, guys like Evan Fournier, who we'll talk about, who I just think are safer plays. Oladipo, 6.4K. So his price has come up a little bit. I don't want to pay that price tag in cash games on this slate. Wes Matthews, 5.9K. He's fine, but I mean, at the same price, I'd prefer Marcus Smart at 5.9K. As long as Crowder is out and someone else for Boston was going to be out. Oh, Jaylen Brown. So Marcus Smart's going to get high 30s in minutes, and I think I'd prefer him over Wes Matthews, although, you know, they're somewhat close. Both are fine for cash games. I don't think either has a monster ceiling. I would say Marcus Smart is a little bit of a higher ceiling. Will Barton, Gary Harris coming back hurts him a little bit, but they're still really banged up. He's a tournament guy. I wouldn't use him in cash, but against Golden State, he could still somehow find a way to get you 40, 50. Tim Hardaway Jr., another guy I don't know if I want to use in cash, although he's been somewhat consistent lately. I love him for single entry and in tournaments. I probably wouldn't go that route in cash, although CJ McCollum is a really bad defender. Evan Fournier is 5.4K. I mean, I prefer Evan Fournier over Tim Hardaway Jr. in cash games on the surface. but I need to dive deeper into this game because Tim Hardaway Jr. is in a faster paced game. He actually has been more consistent. His minutes have been better. Granted, Evan Fournier, the last game for Orlando was a blowout, so I'll need to think about that again. It's just the concept of Tim Hardaway Jr. in cash. It's hard to kind of – he's been so bad, burned me so many times over the years. But could you use both those guys? And both those guys have upside. So like, both those guys are fine for tournament single entries. I do like Fournier and Tim Hardaway Jr. on this slate. Seth Curry's 5.4K. Yeah, whatever. Fine. Him and Wes Matthews more of a cash game play for me, and I guess Curry would be more of the tournament guy, although Darren Williams – I think will hurt Curry a little bit because Darren Williams, when he plays, he does have a decent usage rate. Then after that, Gary Harris is back. I mean, if Gary Harris is healthy, he's 5.2K against Golden State. And I mean, I think he's fine for all formats. Now you can approach Denver this game however you want. If you want to, you've been burned too many times by Golden State blowing teams out, you know, you can say, you know, I'm not using any of these guys in cash and just fade that game for cash games. I get it. But for me, I see a 239 over under, and I'm probably just going to try to attack it. Then you got KCP, whatever. JJ Redick, whatever. Tyreek Evans, whatever. Jeremy Lamb, Middleton, LeVert. Again, it gets back to the point where on an 11-game slate, to me, I don't want to force any of those guys in cash games. Hazonia. Tournament, sure, but in cash games, you don't have to do it. A small forward, you got Kevin Durant, 10.1K. Elite tournament play, that's for sure. But what has he done in the last 2-3 weeks to show an upside? When's the last time he's given us 60? You know, a few weeks ago? So don't love the play. I love the pace of that game. So in tournament, sure. But in cash games, Kawhi Leonard to me is much safer. Kawhi Leonard's 9.6K. He gets Indiana. He gets Paul George, who's a freaking tin man. It is a back-to-back for the Spurs, but Kawhi's minutes have been pretty good even on back-to-back. So, you know, I like both those guys. You know, a part of me is just tempted to go all in on this Golden State Denver game. And some days I think there is merit in doing that. You know what? Someone asked me over the weekend a question similar to that. You know, do you ever just go 100% in on a guy or a team or a game? And the answer to that is I do. And, you know, and you can be wrong. As long as you're comfortable with being wrong, go ahead and do it. And to me, I keep looking at this Golden State Denver game. The more I think about it, even if it is a blowout, you know, and guys should still get 30 minutes in a blowout. As long as it's not a blowout like Houston Phoenix, where Golden State gets up like 25 points in the first 6 minutes, I think all those players should be able to basically get value. It's just going to be points everywhere playing in Denver, you know, with the high altitude. So the more I think about it, the more I do want guys from that game. Gordon Hayward, 8.1K. He's been good, but this is where it gets to an 11-game slate. I'm just not super excited to do it because what's his upside? He hasn't given me 50, which seems like since 2014. Now, in reality, he gave me 50 FanDuel points. Wow. If he did, it was before December 23rd. Yeah, it's been a while. So he's okay, but it feels a little bit forced. Paul George against Kawhi Leonard defense. Yeah, probably not the best play there. The man without a usage rate, Otto Porter himself. I'm not going to pay 6.5K on an 11-game slate for him unless I'm doing a game stack. Covington, wow. So his price is 6.4K now. That's really freaking expensive. That's overpriced. You can still do it in tournaments, sure, but for cash games, I'm not paying that. Harrison Barnes, 6.2K. Yeah, I mean, if I choose between Barnes and Covington for cash, give me Barnes. Barnes is a much safer play, higher usage rate. Could he put up a dud? Kind of, but it's harder to envision him putting up a dud. He also, his upside, his ceiling is not the same as Covington. It's not as high. You know, then you got Otto Porter's twin brother, MKG. Another guy without a usage rate. Whatever, I mean, he's fine. I mean, he's fine for cash games. I don't mind him for a cash game, especially if Zeller's going to be out. He tends to do a little bit better and get some more minutes. But don't love that play. TJ Warren and Tucker. Man, after getting destroyed by Phoenix on Saturday, it's tough to roster to stomach those guys. probably tournaments only for me. And if I could choose one, probably Warren. Although remember, PJ Tucker will spend a good portion guarding Anthony Davis. Last game out against Anthony Davis, though, only had 14 FanDuel points in 31 minutes. Then you got Ronnie Hollis Jefferson by Bogdanović against Memphis. Probably not the best spots for them. And Roberson. You know, two guys that I find interesting down here are, you got Harkless at 4.3K against Atlanta. So now without Plumlee, and if Nurkic doesn't play on Monday, you know, guys like Harkless, Aminu, they'll all be a little bit interesting to me. They should get a little uptick in usage. So Harkless hasn't been great. I don't love that play, but it's intriguing. And Beasley at 4.3K, it's just he's going to find a way to get close to 20 FanDuel points. So I don't mind that. And he does have upside. If he's making a shot, his whole career, he's been streaky. I mean, Miami was my favorite team for, you know, 12 years. He was on Miami like 7 different times. And he would suck for 9 games. In the 10th game, he would have like 30 actual points because he's, you know, when he gets hot, he puts up a big number. So he could help you. I mean, if would it shock me if he's in the winning GPP lineup tomorrow? No, it wouldn't. That's about it. Joe Ingles, I guess, is down there as well. So, I mean, small forward is actually not that great. I mean, I guess Kent Bazemore, I didn't mention, he's 4.8K. He's got to be in play on this slate. I mean, for an 11-game slate, shooting guard and small forward are just not great. Power forward, Anthony Davis is 11.1K. Still probably not a guy that you can look to in cash games because he's too volatile. Last time against Phoenix, two times ago, P.J. Tucker shut him down, and then he shut P.J. Tucker up and put up 58 FanDuel points last time out at a really nice game. So good spot, always a good tournament play. I just wouldn't do it in cash. Jokic, 10.1K. To me, Jokic is safe for all formats. Probably one of my top plays on the slate. Just looking at the stats, Golden State gives up – they give up so many offensive rebounds. And he's just too skilled. I hope that Plumlee is not going to play for Denver on Monday. If somehow Golden State keeps this close, he should give you 50, 60 FanDuel points. If they don't keep it close, he could be a soul crusher. But just a 240 over-under. I'm going to keep repeating that, 240 over-under. Blake Griffin, 9.7K. It's a nice tournament play. I don't do it in cash against Utah, but – could he put up a big number? Sure. He's going to be low-owned. No one wants to attack Utah. Makes him a good tournament play. Pivot right off of Jokic. If you're in a tournament, the way you win a tournament, you pivot off of Jokic and you play Blake Griffin. Is that on paper, does that make sense? No. That's how you win tournaments. You get a guy that's going to be, 38% owned versus a guy that's going to be 9% owned. Draymond Green for Golden State. This is a perfect game for him. Super fast paced game. We saw what he did on Saturday against Memphis. Put up 61 FanDuel points. He had like 10 steals, 10 assists, 12 rebounds. The pace of this game should be so fast where he should just bumble, stumble, and fumble into so many just free fantasy points, so many extra rebounds, assists. Think of all the extra possessions that both teams are going to get. So to me, if there was one Golden State guy who would be safe for all formats, it'd probably be Draymond Green. Paul Millsap, you can attack the hell out of Portland bigs, and that's when they had Plumlee. So nothing changes now. 8K, it's a little risky for cash games because he hasn't been great, but I like that play. Markieff Morris, it's all these Washington guys. Unless you're stacking the game, it's hard to pay. You know, he did put up 45 FanDuel points last game out, but is he going to do that again? It's hard to envision, man. So that's why a lot of these Washington guys, they're going to be maybe tournament plays for me and not cash game plays. It's just they're all overpriced. Zebo, even though he gets Brooklyn, do I want to pay 6.5K for him? No, I just don't want to do it for him for his 24 minutes. No, thank you. James Johnson, James Johnson is overpriced now, and now he gets Orlando. He's been great the last three games. You can do it, although to me, another guy who's getting too expensive. FanDuel actually has done a better job. If someone had to do me ask the difference between DraftKings and FanDuel, I think DraftKings pricing is better because it's harder to find it to have a chalk play because they raise players' prices, one, quicker if the guys are playing well in real life, And also they raise prices based on matchup. And FanDuel, I think, is slowly starting to do that as well. And to me, then you got to get more – when the more and more guys are overpriced, that's when you got to get more creative. And that's when it's going to be harder and harder to find a chalk guy. And to me, that's more skill involved, and that's what I'd like to see. Serge Ibaka, this is a play I like. He's 5.8K, gets Miami. He's at a very reasonable price, coming off a really – Dallas. They got blown out against Dallas, so I'm not going to look at that. I mean, Miami, even though it's a slow-paced game, who's going to be guarding him? Babbitt and then James Johnson or Whiteside? Miami really struggles in the front court. So this is a nice spot for Ibaka, and it's cheap. It's 1.3K cheaper than Markieff Morris. And could he have more FanDuel points than Markieff Morris? Yeah. I mean, if I had to put a wager on it, I'd say it's like 50-50 who gets more FanDuel points or DraftKings points. So give me the savings. Dirk is 5.7K. Not much of a ceiling at that price, but fine. I don't mind that. I do like Aminu, 5.5K. I read some newspaper saying that he's going to get extended minutes, and plus Stotts has really loved the way he's been playing lately. He's been getting close to 30 minutes anyway, and he's been super consistent under the radar lately. He's given you over 20 FanDuel points in like 7-8 straight games. So safe for us, as weird as it is to say, because he's not a guy with a high usage rate, safe for all formats on this slate. Especially if Nurkic, I'm praying Nurkic does not play for Portland. Tobias Harris, whatever. Don't love that play, but you can do it. A guy I don't like to roster in cash, but his salary's reasonable. Ersan Ilyasova is 5.5K. I mean, the problem is with him, it's minutes. When he gets minutes, he'll produce. And right now, because Saric is playing so well, he's not getting a ton of minutes. That makes him probably single entry or tournament play only. Marvin Williams, as long as Zeller's going to be out, to me, he's going to get 30-plus minutes, and he's safe for all formats. Nerlens Noel, he played I had him at 1% on Saturday. He was playing really well against Miami, and then he went out late in the fourth quarter with some type of freaking injury, or I don't know what the hell it was. And he had 33 FanDuel points when he left. Was super frustrated because he was on pace to give me over 40. Remember, they're sitting out Okafor, so I like Noel. I like Sarge. You could play both Noel and Sarge on this slate, and I think they'll both hit value. Speaking of Sarge, the one problem is his prices come up. So he's 5.1K, and he still is only getting around, in the mid-20s in minutes. So he's been producing at a monster clip, but now at that salary, it's going to, there's not a monster upside. But I still think that salary's fair, and Charlotte bigs are a joke. So I think Noel and Sarge are both fine on the slate. Derek Favors is still sitting down there basically for free, but he sucks. So it's hard to get excited about that. He had 40 FanDuel points a week ago out of nowhere, but other than that, he's been a bum all year long. I love Frank Kaminsky. I can't believe I said that sentence, but since he's been starting, besides that Houston game, which got out of hand, he's been great, especially offensively. So I thought his price – I think on DraftKings, they upped his price. So on DraftKings, he's been much harder to play. But 4.8K on FanDuel, that's too cheap. And playing Philly, if you watch people attack Philly bigs in the last couple of weeks, they've been destroying them. Now, a lot of that was with Okafor, but still, Noel's while he's athletic, he's not a great on-ball defender. He's great off-ball. So Kaminsky's fine for all formats. And you got Marquise Chris, tournament option. Bums like Lavoy Allen. Thon Maker, he intrigues me. He's 3.6K. If he starts and gets 22 minutes, he's going to get 20 FanDuel points. So Thon Maker will be a nice little tournament play for me on this slate for sure. All right, center. Center, top price center is Whiteside. So it was no Cousins, no Towns. One of my things I always do, I love attacking Vucevic. So Miami versus Orlando, I will absolutely play some Whiteside. I have not played a lot of him lately. I will play him against Vucevic, that's for sure. Andre Drummond, Whiteside and Drummond are both in good spots. I think the Bucks have allowed 20 rebounds like twice in the last 2 years. Both times have been Andre Drummond. So it is a back-to-back for the Pistons, although he didn't play a ton of minutes on Sunday. if he can just freaking stay awake, he should destroy them. I mean, I don't care which one of their four freaking centers they trot out there. If it's Henson, Monroe, Hibbert, or Hawes, Drummond should feast on all of them. But I still don't trust for cash games. Marc Gasol, to me, the more and more I think about this, the more and more I'm intrigued by this play, unless Memphis just wants to start resting people because Brooklyn's so bad. Which, you know, the reason when, you know, a lot of people are asking me what's going on, why can't people attack Brooklyn, and why aren't guys putting up better numbers against Brooklyn? One, I think, you know, the NBA season, it's a grind. So people see Brooklyn on the schedule and you're playing Dinwiddle, Lin Fiddle, you know, Bogdanović, Brook Lopez, it's just Kilpatrick. You got like four bums on the court at all times. So guys probably don't get motivated and they think that they think it's going to be an easy win, which it normally is. So I think it's just human nature. You're not super motivated for that game is part of the reason. But with that said, Gasol's in a great spot. So I think he's fine for any format you want. Rudy Gobert, 7.8K. He's been disappointing me lately. I've actually been using him a little bit. He's been fine, but you know, he's not been getting me 40 FanDuel points, which is kind of what I need. Against DeAndre Jordan, you know, they're kind of two clones against each other. They both no offensive game. They both will get lots of rebounds and not much else. I prefer the other guys, more upside. Vucevic, I like him too because Whiteside, not a good on-ball defender. And Vucevic is one of the most skilled offensively skilled guys, centers in the NBA. That's why sometimes he's a double on DraftKings. You can use the double Dream Lover approach. You play Vucevic on DraftKings, and you also play whoever he's going to be guarding. So you play Vucevic and Whiteside on DraftKings because both of them could put up monster stats. Gortat, again, he's just – I don't feel the need to pay 7.1K for him. Is he relatively safe? Sure. But I just prefer to go different routes. His usage rate's so bad. Al Horford, 7K. Dallas is a really bad rebounding team. But nothing from watching Boston play lately makes me want to roster Al Horford, except his price and except that he'll be less than 5% owned. Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard's in an elite spot. So they're playing Portland. They traded Plumlee. Nurkic probably won't play on Monday. I don't know if he's going to play. Who's going to be guarding him? He should get 50 rebounds. He's super underpriced. He hasn't been great. He doesn't get tons of minutes. But, you know, should he be able – how can he not get 20 rebounds? I'm sure he'll find a way because it's DFS, but I do love the play. Steven Adams, 6.2K. It's fine for cash games. Miles Turner, 6K. Tournaments only. He's a Magic Mountain guy. He's raw. He's really talented. When he puts it together on certain nights, he'll put up big numbers. And this is a debate I got, you know, a couple nights ago. It was Turner. People were asking me Turner and Gortat. And to me, obviously, Gortat was a safer playing cash games. And there was no dispute over that. But to me, Turner has more upside than Gortat, and he's 1.1K cheaper. In tournaments, me, because I want to win the tournament, I would rather play Turner. Now, I think when Gortat that same night, because they were matched up against each other, Gortat had a better night, which, okay, it was totally fine. Then Gortat hit value, like, barely. So, but that's when Gortat has a big game, that's what he'll do. When Turner has a big game, he'll give you 7-8 times value. And that's something Gortat won't do. And when it comes for me in tournaments, like that, those are the things that I ask myself. But for tournaments, for cash games where I play Turner, no. Greg Monroe, he's at the mercy of Jason Kidd, so God only knows what to do there. Tournament, sure. Then you got Kelly Olynyk, you got Deadman for the Spurs, Bismack Biyombo, blah, blah, blah. So that's about it. All right, that is it. We got through it. This is a tough slate. You know, 11 games, and then we have 14 games on Wednesday. It's tricky. It's a lot of data. If you're overwhelmed, feel free to not play as much as you normally do, because it is a lot of data to process. Or if you do want to just knock off, say, four games you're not going to target and target on some of the higher over-under games or just some of the matchups that you like, that's totally fine to do as well. Because remember, If we're not like the pros playing 150 lineups, 300 lineups, 1,000 lineups in every damn tournament, we have to make choices. Like that's what the common regular player has to do. So our choice is are we gonna be wrong certain days? Of course, but sometimes just make a choice and live with it. And on large slates, that's what we have to do because we've got to narrow down that player pool. All right, that's it. That's the show. Whew, my voice is super hoarse. I'm exhausted. It's Monday, but it's All-Star Week. Hopefully it can be a glorious week. Hopefully you made some money on Sunday. Hopefully you can achieve glory on Monday. For me and the bailiff, court is adjourned.